喵喵喵喵。Trigger warning, estos son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde Podbay 2 a 1 kilómetro de altura, sobre el nivel del mar en los estudios intergalácticos de la pradera. Alteramos tu locus cerúleo, calentando tu sinapsis con rejuvenecedoras ondas de radio. Esto calienta tu cerebro en unos sabrosos y tostaditos 365 grados, manteniendo la avalancha de estatismo fuera de tu cabeza. ¿Lo sientes, Jim? ¿Funciona? ¿Lo sientes?
¡Sí!
Hey, that's my buddy there, Jim, and here's Hugo, the jet cockatoo, transmitting to you from sunny Mexico City, and I wanted to start by saying this goes out to Donald Trump. Señor Trump, no he violado a nadie el día de hoy. ¿Puedo entrar? ¿Puedo entrar a su país? Which translates to, Mr. Trump, I've raped no one today, so please let me in.
You know, this is also a Bernie Sanders might say that this is just a Koch brothers ploy to have you keep the wages of other Freedom Fiends hosts down. So maybe that's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Probably. I don't know. Maybe what's any wage multiplied by zero? I'm not sure.
Okay. It's working.
It's working. Yeah. Yeah, some people call it dumping, you know, putting this low salary talk show hosts on the air, but it's working. So, yeah. Hi to Bernie. You don't feel excluded, Mr. Bernie Sanders, either. So Jim, yeah, we were talking before, and I should say that this show is covered by the BIPCOT no-gov license, which allows use by everybody except for governments. So another message there, and you can learn more about it at bipcot.org, bipcot.org.
So that means anybody can use this show, except people like Bernie and Donald.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, you're out.
Yeah, he's been doing all right for some time, so if he needs the content, he could probably just go ahead and produce something, you know, some Fiends copycat. All state this all the time, and there's an episode that goes that way, right? I've listened to that episode before. It's just the other way around. Everybody's
right.
A statist.
We did that special show. It was Lou Fiend, myself, and Davi did an episode of Federal Fiends, where we all took the opposite view, which was rather fun.
So Donald Trump is an affluent man, so he could, you know, just hire some people and do the federal fiends.
He could hire me. He could hire me. I'm, you know, I've been trying to sell out for years. You know, it's just it's really hard to find a buyer. So
yeah, you're still waiting for that Koch brother check on in the mail, right?
Yeah, like, you know, every day somebody accuses me of being a shill for the Koch brothers, and I've never gotten a single check.
That's so sad, man.
So, yeah. So, David H., or whatever your brother's name is, if you're listening, I'm ready.
Yeah, we're ready to sell out.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jim, I was, I've been pretty confused for probably a couple of years now over this whole recording the police thing that goes on in the U.S., in America, all the time. Liberty activists are recording the police every day, and they try to, you know, put it on the record and confronting the police and, you know, having everybody know how these guys are conducting themselves. And it's kind of weird because we've talked about this on the Fiends before, and here in Mexico you just bribe the police, which is really, really weird for someone in America. We're not endorsing this behavior for your own good, probably, even though
that doesn't actually sound that bad to me. I mean, what would a typical bribe be?
Well, usually it's less than the fine you're supposed to get, and here in Mexico, it could go anywhere from $20 up to probably $100, depending on the on the severity of your infraction. And okay. It's usually for these, you know, these things which are really not crimes at all. You know, the traffic violations, maybe you get caught with some herbal remedies there or that kind of thing. You know,
okay.
you cannot really, unless you're a very influential politician, you cannot really bribe the system for real crimes, you know, more murder or rape or
okay.
those sort of things.
But you can bribe your way out of like a weed charge or...
Yeah, yeah, okay. yeah. You probably actually you don't get arrested. You just negotiate on the spot with the police, and they usually open. They will say, "You'll ask for help." You say, "Yeah, please, can you help me?" And they'll say, "You have to help them in return." And you know that's the code. That's code for let's just negotiate a price here. And
I think that's very efficient. And, you know, for anyone who's listening to our show that's a minarchist, I think that system would be particularly appealing because they're looking for this small, efficient government. And look at all the middlemen that just kind of leaves out of the equation, right? Why make you mail in the extortion when you can just yeah. negotiate directly with the agent of the state?
That's true, and there's less transaction fees. You don't have to do the banking thing. You don't have to have an office where people are. You know, there's some clerk trying getting the money and giving you a receipt. You just do it on the spot. So yeah, I would say that's efficient. And as you were saying, people who want to make the state more efficient should look into that. Let's say it that way. But that's a really common thing. It's common all over Asia and in Africa and Latin America. So maybe probably just North America, U.S., Canada, and in Western Europe don't have bribery.
Why are we missing out on that? How did we miss the boat there? What happened?
I'm not sure. You know, there was probably a time where fines were reasonable, you know, quote-unquote reasonable. I'm making air quotes here. But right now, you know, they're really exorbitant, and there's a force for the market there to start working. You know, maybe you're a police officer, and I think that would be, as long as you're not enforcing a bad law, whatever, you know, transaction, whatever arrangement you have to get into, it is not making the thing, is not making the abuse worse. I would say here, I'd prefer someone who let me go, even if I gave them some money for some non-crime, than someone who would enforce a bad law. You know, people who enforce bad law.
I think I know why that will never fly around here, because we have a whole industry that needs that revenue. It's not just the cop. You know, or even his boss. There's a whole food chain of bureaucrats and busybodies and parasites. The parasitic class is huge here. So, like, if all the cops just started, you know, pocketing money themselves, well, either they'd have to work out a whole payment structure to all the everyone else in their department. But then soon they'd realize that they don't need those whole departments. So all of those bureaucrats are going to cling to that system. So it turns out when a cop ends up like taking a little more for themselves, when they're instead of letting their, you know, the whole gang get the money, they frown on that quite severely. You know, that's tampering with their revenue. So
that is true. And you know, there's also the you have to take into account the contractors, which is a lot of people in the companies that will make so much gear for the police. And you know, if the budget is low, if there is not that much revenue, you know, you don't have money for new toys.
Right.
So you know that those newfangled tasers and you know the police the cruisers and all that, you know that you got to have new toys every once in a while.
Yeah, the drones.
The
Bearcats, the tanks. They're issuing rocket launchers to school boards now, which I was a little surprised. I didn't really know why a school board would need rocket launchers, but grenade launchers. But yeah, don't mess with certain school boards. They got grenade launchers now.
Well, you get up the firepower, right? If someone's got a, if someone has some kind of a heavy weaponry, like, you know, a handgun or a rifle, you gotta have them grenade launchers and machine guns. You can just go around working from the floor.
Well, I think their big concern is truancy. They need to make sure that that kids aren't skipping school, and if that takes a grenade launcher, so be it.
Yeah. You know, you just go for the big guns from the start, and that'll help. There used to be a time where teachers used to sit down with students in class or somewhere in the some kind of what do you call it, counseling afterwards. And you just talk it over. Son, what did you bring a knife to the school? And they'd have a chance to maybe find out they were being bullied and they were scared. And right now, zero tolerance is just taking that away, right?
I wouldn't know directly. I don't really participate in the government school system. I see the stories, and I'm like, ooh, that just kind of freaks me out. But you know, when I was in school, gosh, you know, yeah, of course, I think the only reason I would skip school would be to like go to the library or something, like actually try to sneak some learning in sometime. We didn't really have anything to do when I was a kid.
Were you growing up in a small town, or was it a city?
Yeah, it's like a small, you know, rural, borderline suburban town. So I mean, there was nothing to do. We really couldn't get into that much trouble, you know. But what about you?
Well, I grew up in a small city. It was a city, but it was, I don't know, probably a million inhabitants in Venezuela. And there were, you know, I wasn't skipping school that much, but I used to, you know, go to the river and probably pulling some pranks between students. There wasn't that much.
Nice.
It was a long time ago. It was, I don't know, probably 20 something, 30 years ago. So,
okay.
So yeah, things were much more boring back then. There weren't any cell phones, so there wasn't any, you know, you couldn't just go ahead and tweet your day from school. So,
herbs.
Yeah. Let's try to find some normalcy in the market and then reminisce those old times.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the statists win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those with easily rustled jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience dropped blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's libertariansagainsthumanity.com.
Meow, meow, meow. Cuckoo.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends.
Fiends.
I'm Jim Babb, and I'm here with Hugo Gonzalez. So it's great to be with you. So you grew up in Venezuela, and I really want to get your perspective, because what I'm reading about Venezuela is so heartbreaking right now. That just seems like the ravages of socialism are taking an enormous toll on the people there. And I want to hear your perspective on this, and tell me how are the folks down there dealing with that?
Well, to begin with, it's really true, which is the first thing we should, you know, clarify. There's people who see conspiracy in it, and, you know, the media, maybe it's painting it more serious than it really is. But it is that way, you know. Socialism takes a long time to destroy a country, and in the case of Venezuela, it got started probably in the year 2000, so it's been 15 years. Ever since Chavez was elected, it was 98. Yeah, I think it was 98. So he was, until his death, ruling the country. And he's moved, you know, p- piecemeal into full-fledged socialism. And yeah, people are having a hard time. People are having a hard time getting, you know, basic staples, milk, having, well, milk is pretty much, you cannot find any milk.
I heard beer production has been jeopardized.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing that takes the longest. Yeah, you know, people try to do anything, whatever it takes to have beer, and the companies, the government has been giving dollars or selling dollars to those companies to have in order for them to import the hops and whatever they need to make beer. But right now, yeah, we're at that point that even beer is going scarce. So yeah, that's true. You cannot find any chicken, you cannot find any beef, you cannot find any milk, and right now it's we're coming to the point where there is no beer, which is really serious, you know.
That's like end stage socialism, right? It's got to be near the end, right? I just can't imagine people standing around and accepting that.
People would have revolted, probably 8 years ago, but right now they're less and less powerful, which is one thing about socialism. When it takes hold, every other kind of organization outside of the state is just being crushed. So, I mean, at this point, what can you do? You can only, it's to basically deal with it by drinking whatever else you can. I visited Cuba a couple of years ago. They were talking when the USSR fell, and they were big recipients of help, or I don't know what you'd call it, foreign aid, whatever you want to call it, from the USSR. They were telling me that in those years, probably 1992, 1993, they would be drinking whatever looked like alcohol, and people got sick.
Oh,
because,
man.
You know, people want to have alcohol, and if you cannot have capitalist alcohol, you will have socialist alcohol. And sometimes that blinds you, but yeah, you'll still have it. So, yeah, so the rumors are true. People are spending hours under the sun to make this to be in these very long lines for controlled products, and one failure will always help them to find some culprit and then go again to another government measure. Right now they close the border, one of the borders, important borders with Colombia. So, you know, they will always have an excuse. It's those people who are dealing in the black market.
Right.
Because, you know, it always finds a way, and people are buying at different prices than those regulated by the government. You know, you have that every day in the U.S. I think there's very few controlled things. So, you know, that the price is not subject to the market. But I'm pretty sure there's at least one or two, right?
I guess so. It's not something we think about, you know, regularly. That there's pretty much market influence, even if an industry is heavily regulated and controlled. There's still somewhat. I would say healthcare is probably the biggest example of where these prices are being mandated because the state has got their tentacles so deeply entwined in every aspect of it. But generally, you know, we still have market forces.
Yeah, probably. Sometimes the government tries to regulate who can sell some things like liquor, and the prices suffer. But, you know, let's go to the free market. There's always things to be sold.
Right on.
Meow.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are statists anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
Jim Babb and me, Hugo, from Mexico, coming back and talking about socialism. We were talking about, you know, the process where a country just becomes socialist and kind of with anesthesia, kind of numb, little by little, going to socialism. I was talking about Venezuela. And Jim, you were telling me about an article where something even worse was happening in Venezuela.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, I guess it's kind of, there's sort of this usual trajectory as socialism grows. And the stage right now is where, you know, they started controlling all the prices and everything, and they started nationalizing certain industries, and they're like, uh-oh, what, we're having trouble with food. So they started nationalizing food production. And this is where it gets really dangerous, because these central planners think they can get food distributed to everybody that needs it. So this particular headline I saw in the Telegraph was about how the Venezuelan farmers have been ordered to hand over their produce to the state. Okay. And this is what really, you know, it's like I've been reading these stories and I'm, you know, been concerned, but I realize like this is, you know, if the black market can't adapt fast enough, people could be in a world of hurt over this. So I'm hoping, you know, that the black market is responding and that there's enough entrepreneurs left to make sure everybody still gets fed.
Yeah, I think actually there are. But, you know, when you start hearing about the government controlling farmers, you start thinking full-fledged Cambodia there or full-fledged USSR. You know,
or like Chairman Mao, you know, exactly. The great leap forward, and, you know, and millions of people can die. Like, it's dangerous.
It is. It is. And, you know, and their line of reasoning is people are buying control. Well, people are making are standing in line for products, and then they're reselling them in the freer market, you know, the black market. And they have this line of reasoning, but it's not really true. The products are being diverted by soldiers and by policemen and by employees of the state apparatus, the same way they were everywhere else there's been communism. And it's right. it's not a thing about, you know, private people selling these things. You know, you got a friend or a relative that's a National Guard employee, a National Guard soldier in Venezuela. You know, he can help you out. He can fix you up with some powdered milk or something like that. And you'll buy it. He'll sell it to you at the controlled price, and you'll split the difference when you sell it on the black market. So this is just an expected step in the road to communism.
Yeah, but it is kind of heartbreaking. And you know, I'm hoping that they're learning more and more about Bitcoin. And I think you had mentioned to me that you're using Bitcoin to transact with some of your family that's still there. So I think that's a positive sign.
I did. One of the positive things is, you know, there's been I would call it just a consolation prize rather than a good thing. But one of the good things there is there's been a runaway inflation and devaluing of the local currency. So you can just start and set up a business there and pay people a reasonable wage, even with a couple dollars here outside of the outside of Venezuela because you get Bitcoin. And I just found a guy. You know how things go in the third world. You have to find a guy. And I did find a guy whom I transferred Bitcoin to. So yeah, I just sent him some Bitcoin. He sent transferred some bolivars to my brother. So yeah, nice. people are making buy, trying to solve the things through Bitcoin. That guy is probably making a reasonable living transacting Bitcoin, and he went into it a couple of years ago. But yeah, and
he's a pioneer.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is the real agorist in the third world in Venezuela. He's an agorist banker. So
nice.
Yeah,
well, and I'd like to send a message to our listeners in Venezuela. And regarding the beer shortage specifically, I'm in Pennsylvania. We have outstanding beer selection. If anyone in Venezuela wants to send me Bitcoin, I will send you wonderful craft beer from Pennsylvania. Okay, I don't see any reason why we can't work this out.
Okay, yeah, it's really hot in there, so they drink a lot of beer, ice cold beer. So yeah, I don't know, maybe shipping is not that good, but yeah, let's try it.
Yeah, the shipping might be a little expensive, but we can work it out. You will not be without beer, okay? You will not be without beer. If you can scrounge up some Bitcoin, we can make this happen.
Yeah, let's try that. And, I live in this situation in Venezuela. And, those kind of things never happen. Those kinds of things never happen just suddenly. They take a long time. Socialism thing takes a long time, and in the case of Venezuela it's taking 15 years. But it started much less dangerously when some politician told the people they could have free stuff.
Yeah,
and I believe you're kind of having that in the U.S. right now.
Oh yeah, in a major way. And nobody learns anything. We're plagued with this election season, which isn't even until next year, but we're still bombarded with these candidates, and they stand up there and they give their list for free stuff. It's like, I'll give you more free stuff than that other guy. And, no, my free stuff's going to be even freer and more free stuff and ponies and free stuff, hashtag free stuff matters,
Yeah, free food, free healthcare, free childcare, free, free daycare, free, what else? There's free education.
Oh, yeah, free college, free, ponies, birth control, abortions.
That's true. Free abortions.
And the sad thing is, it's like once they're giving everybody health care, well, now it seems, the next logical step is that they have to have an opinion on your diet, right? Well, we're all paying for your health care, so hey, whoa, that's a two Big Macs? Whoa,
Yeah, lose the Twinkies.
Yeah, so the next logical step is, well, since your healthcare is provided by, the collective, that now the collective gets to make health decisions about your life. Your portion sizes are now up to democratic vote, perhaps, or bureaucratic dictate.
Yeah, that's the root of the ban on certain size sodas, right? Sodas or a pop. Yeah, you cannot have more than several than the number of ounces on a soda because you get fat and then you'll be our problem. That's
exactly
true.
So it's just the next logical step.
Yeah, that's true, and it takes a long time, but it's advice from the fiends. Don't fall into those traps. There is no free lunch, and that's a very old saying, but people keep forgetting. And when the game is about offering free stuff, the worst kind of candidate or the worst kind of politician will always win over the more reasonable ones. Because if you're not gonna fulfill your promises, you're more likely to promise just
Anything.
Yeah, anything.
Everything.
You can go ahead and say free ponies. Like, there's this joke candidate, Vermin Supreme, and he's saying free ponies. And it is funny because he's saying free ponies, but we're very close to offering free ponies if we're offering free healthcare and a literal free lunch for your kids at school.
So, and in fact, I am a big fan of Vermin Supreme. Of all the candidates that I will not be voting for, he's the one I'm not saying I wish I was voting for him, but he's the one I will not vote for the fondest.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense at all. No.
It does. Yeah. If I were...
English is my first language, by the way, and I still can't put a sentence together sometimes. So
I shouldn't worry. Yeah, if I lived in the U.S. and if I could vote, I'd vote harder for Vermin Supreme. Yeah. Let's put it that way. You know, you gotta try and vote harder.
I'm also following closely the campaign of D's Nuts, which I think is a real one to keep an eye on. An up and coming candidate, it's polling very well. It's doing, you know,
yeah, strong third place, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's completely crushed Rand Paul. Rand Paul's ready to drop out due to D's Nuts just tromping him in the polls. So,
yeah, that's one large candidate. So, oh my God, yeah. So probably the Libertarian and Dream candidates won't be polling much higher than, let's say, Donald Trump, right?
You know, I don't know. I really don't pay much attention to it, but everybody seems to be talking about Donald Trump. You know, I don't know why. The dude is, you know, and he's not even really offering as many free products, although I'm sure that's part of his plan. But he's offering this, like, we're going to make America great again. And by great, I mean we're going to be building walls and we're going to mine the harbors and put razor wire on the beaches and we're going to, you know, we're going to round them up. Like, oh my God.
Wasn't there a candidate that upped his proposal with a wall on the border with Canada?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And then he acted like he didn't say that, even though it was on video. I forget which one it was, like, Walker or something. I forget what one of these.
Yeah,
they're all the same.
I was wondering what he was planning to do with, you know, when you have to build a wall through the lake. So, yeah.
Well, you have to do those floating mines. That's where you have to go for floating mines. Well, yeah. You know, but some.
That's thoroughly proportional, right?
Right. Well, they could, you know, somebody could be canoeing across from Kanuckistan, and you know, we can't just have that. You know, they could be ISIS or something coming across in canoes from Newfoundland or something. Can't have that.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering. That would be a one big feat of engineering. You know, you could create jobs and all that.
They're going to need a lot of imported labor to build that stuff.
Yeah. Wonder where that's going to come from.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. Nobody.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Freedom Fiends. Hugo. I'm in Philadelphia, and Hugo, south of the border somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere sunny Mexico City. Is it still sunny right now?
Right now it's been raining all day, but it's usually sunny. And it's also a bit of a, you know, communist large city like New York in our south of the border version. We got the same nanny laws here. We got laws against sugar too. And yeah, that's the deal with big cities. People, you always have busybodies trying to impose on you when you're not right. out in the country. Yes,
but I guess unlike New York, they're slightly less likely to just randomly like have the police spray gunfire on crowded sidewalks for having the wrong big gulp size or something.
Yeah, it's pretty safe here with the police. They're just trying to get by. They're not really that eager to start shooting and spraying bullets around.
Okay,
so good. Yeah, you know, it's a soft tyranny. It's not really violent. You have to go there usually, but yeah, but you know, people are the same. The police are the same everywhere. Just
right.
Little bits here and there change.
Yeah, it's the same gig, right? But so yeah, we were talking a little bit about filming the police, and you know, filming the police is really important around here. You really don't want to interact with any government agent without proof, without some kind of documentation. And sometimes you need a videographer and someone to video the videographer in case they try to smash your tape or try to confiscate your evidence.
That'd be so much fun if it weren't so tragic.
Oh, man, they do it. I mean, I've had a camera where the guy tried to snatch it right out of my hand. Like it was, and I just reflexively, I just snatched it back really quick. Luckily, I'm like what? Like they don't care, you know. But so are people filming the police in Mexico City?
Well, not really. Some of them are starting to do that, but you'll never do it. You know, you'll never film the police while you're being noticed. You might do it, you know, from a safe distance, but you never confront the police while recording them. And I'm not sure why. I'm pretty sure it has to do with the reality that you can get out of it probably by paying them some money. So you wanna, you know, make
you don't want to have the tape. Yeah, you don't want to be. You can't be videotaping it while you're offering them a bribe.
Yeah, because you're going to be on the spot then, you know, after you do that. But yeah, but people are doing that sometimes. But it was really foreign to me that people would try and recall the police. You know, there's for me, that wouldn't be important. But then it hit me about, you know, some days ago when I've watched Derek Jay's movie and all. It's called The Victimless Crimes Brief for the listeners.
What a great documentary.
Yeah, it's great. And you know, I realized a couple of days ago that the whole deal is not about the police themselves. You know, you won't win that interaction by recording. It's about the people who are watching the interaction. That's
exactly
the whole deal is about people who believe in the police. And what you're doing is you're trying to expose how these guys work. And how these guys are trying to, at the end, they're all trying to get your money. They're all trying to get your obedience.
Right.
And there's so many people who believe in the police still, you know. There's so many folks that believe in the police still. And some of them are, those opinions, that matrix of opinion is changing every day. You know, there's been a lot of police brutality videos around, you know, the famous, the guy that got choked in New York. And, well, what I realize is it's about turning minds and changing hearts by, you know.
Exactly it.
Look at this. We're filming the police, and this is how these guys work. Let go of your fantasies.
Right.
Would you say that's true?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why I filmed the police. And let's, you know, when we come back in the next segment, let's talk about that some more.
Yeah, worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Estos son los Freedom Fiends, transmitiendo desde el cañón iónico de baja órbita del campo de reeducación libertario, en la cima de la plaza financiera bestial, en el satélite artificial LIP para 2017, en la región de Alpha Centauri. And this is not a Tejano station, but this is the International Freedom Fiends, right now with me, Hugo from Mexico, and Jim Babb from Transylvania. Is that right?
It's close. We do have a lot of people sucking blood here, but it's Pennsylvania.
And, okay.
Yeah, it's not vampires. It's it's city politicians in Philadelphia that we have draining us dry.
Yeah, you got those counts there. You know, in your counties, you got counts draining right. Your blood.
Yeah, exactly. Our lifeblood.
So we were talking the first hour about, among many other things, filming the police and how to win hearts and minds. And you have a story about the police and how they, you know, react in all the wrong ways.
Yeah, they do not like being filmed for some reason. I don't know why. You'd think they'd all be like, "Ooh, I could be a movie star," and like, you know, really want to just put their best side forward for the camera, right? No. In fact, there was this one situation in San Antonio, Texas, where the police shot a guy that, and they said, you know, they had the official story, said, "Well, he resisted, and we tried the non-lethal techniques, and, you know, it was unfortunate, but we reluctantly had to use our guns." Okay, so that's their story, and that sounds very familiar, right?
Yeah, they always say that.
Yeah, then the neighbor comes out with a video and gives it to the TV station, okay? And it basically just shows him murdering the guy in cold blood. Just the guy had surrendered, he had his hands up, and just gunned him down. You know, just it's just straight up murder on this video. And now, you know, as you can imagine, the sheriff's department was outraged about this incident.
Okay? I'm pretty sure they were.
Now, of course, they weren't outraged that one of their people had murdered a guy. That's just doing your job. What they were outraged at was the TV station, who had paid $100 to get exclusive rights for this video. Okay, so they're doing their press release. "I can't believe this TV station was so irresponsible. Now it's putting all of our officers at risk because everybody knows what murderers we are."
Oh my God.
That's basically what they're saying. That's like, you know, you're letting the cat out of the bag that we're these like ruthless killers with the, you know, that kill without remorse.
Yeah,
but that's,
we used to go out, go out on duty and feel safe, but right now everybody's going to hate us because we usually do these things, and now people know.
Yeah. Not only was it out on video, but you didn't have to go to YouTube. They like ran it on the local network. So
yeah, that would be the difference, right? They call it a push medium. You're just there watching TV, and suddenly they hit you with a sad truth that policemen kill people without, you know, having to whatever circumstance you will define for that. at some point, I'm starting to believe they actually believe their story that they were fearing for their lives in every possible situation. You know, that guy had his hands up. It was raining. Maybe, you know, lightning could strike and we could all die. So we shot him because we feared for our lives.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even understand what goes through these people's the head. Now, I'm not familiar with what happened. You know, a lot of times they're pumped up on steroids, so they're a little bit more aggressive than a normal person would be, and they chased after the guy. You know, maybe they're like, oh my God, he's making us run. He's going to pay for that. Like, they don't like to run. Okay, that is. No.
Yeah.
So if you make them, if you make them get out of the car or something, you know, you're at least going to get some stick time for that. You know?
And you see, that's why we don't recall the police here in Mexico. Because we don't want to make them mad, you know? Now I have to go through all the hassle and tell you to shut the camera. I have to take it from you, then I have to break it. So that's probably the reason why we don't do that.
But, you know, in Mexico City, maybe you don't even have to do these chases. You're like, nobody wants to run. You can just be like, look, we'll just negotiate it. Here's my $100. You know, and we'll all both go about our business. It seems like that could work out a lot better for both parties.
Yeah, nobody wants to get tangled in paperwork or, you know, just going there, going to the station, reporting, and maybe, you know, taking people in and everything. So they don't want to do it either. I've had police cruisers chase me. Well, not chase me, escort me to the station. And then when I get out of the car, they even up to that point, they want to negotiate because they don't want to go through. There's nothing in it for them. If you go into the station, you know, you together, I don't know, you get fined or anything. It's not a good business proposal for them. Yeah. Yeah, so we were trying to win the hearts and minds of people with recording the police or with maybe showing it on TV, which was the case in this article you were saying, in this report. And but there's some quirks about libertarians, about liberty folk that, I don't know, maybe will scare people away. I don't know. I don't know if you have encountered that.
Well, you know, probably. I go to Pork Fest every year. I most of my friends are libertarians.
Basically nothing will scare you if you go to Pork Fest every year.
Yeah.
Well,
there's popular trends, you know, like, you know, beards, bacon, guns.
I've been asked this question. What's the deal with bacon? What does bacon have to do with liberty or with,
I have, you know, no idea,
smashing the state? But for some reason, libertarians or liberty people, anarchists, whatever you want to call them, are all about the bacon. They will praise bacon. They will have, bread is bread bad, bacon good. And, you know, that even at Porkfest, which is the Porcupine Freedom Festival, it's held every year in New Hampshire. Even there, you can get your gyro or your food with a bacon weave instead of bread. So what's the deal with that? What would you say?
We need to get Lou to answer that because Lou is a bacon aficionado, and I recognize that bacon is delicious. I just don't personally eat it because I don't eat farm animals in general, so. But I do recognize it as being delicious, and I'll cook it for my family or for guests or whatnot. It is, I'm not like offended by bacon or anything. I don't have any religious hang up about it, but, I think it is a sort of a negative to it because, a lot of people, you know, different religions won't eat bacon. Okay. And if they feel like, oh, this is some kind of a bacon fest, that's not going to appeal to Jewish people or Muslims or vegetarians or vegans or, Buddhists. I mean, there's a whole lot of the world doesn't eat bacon. So
yeah, you're right. I hadn't thought of it that way, you know, by worshiping bacon, libertarians are alienating a whole lot of people who are not Christians, for example.
But, you know, hey, you know, whatever. I'll go to a festival where people are eating food that I don't care for. It's not going to offend me. I mean, I don't think anybody's really going to be offended by it. But, like, if you're going to a festival, you want to know you're going to have plenty to eat, right? And if I was a vegetarian and going to Pork Fest, well, it's an issue. There's not a whole lot of vegetarian food there. So I'd like to see a big tent as far as dietary requirements, but
that's the one big tent that's missing at Pork Fest, probably. Yeah, a veggie tent. Yeah, tent full of vegetables where you can buy vegan or vegetarian. That's true. You were saying you don't eat any farm animals. What kind of animals do you eat?
I eat seafood. That's basically the only animals I eat. I don't ask me why. You know, everybody's diet is stupid for some reason.
So you don't eat fish, or you don't.
No, I do eat fish. Yeah, I do eat fish, and you know, like shellfish
and seafood,
and
yeah,
eggs and dairy.
Just
I eat
mammals or birds.
Yeah, I just for some reason I just stopped eating them. It was a big mistake, but I've stuck with it. I don't know.
I have this thing with bacon. I'm one of the bacon fans in the Liberty Movement, one of many thousands. But yeah, when I was growing up in the 80s, bacon was the big culprit of everything, from bad breath to heart disease. So bacon and fat in general was very looked down upon in the 80s. So you were not supposed to have any fat, particularly animal fat, particularly cured, delicious animal fat, pork fat.
Right.
So you weren't supposed to have it. And I almost never had it. My family wouldn't give bacon to me, even though I requested repeatedly every day. But they didn't give me any bacon. So when I was old enough to be getting my own bacon and eating my own bacon, I would... Yeah, I became a fan of it, and a fan of salami and all those delicious pork products. So maybe that's just going against the current and deciding to have fat that used to be for everybody, that used to be bad. It might be an extension of the whole thing that whatever you've been told is bad is probably good.
Right. That's probably it. So Pork Fest, like 2025, it's going to be like all like baguettes and French bread, and it's going to be like pasta, and it's going to be all carbs all the time. It'd be like carbs.
Yeah,
carbs. Woohoo. Like,
yeah, just eating bowls of sugar with a spoon. Probably, yeah. Pork Fest 20. Yeah, when 14-year-old kids today are, you know, 30, they're gonna be having all the carbs in Pork Fest. Yeah, I think that's a trend. I think we found it.
Yeah, and you know, and I think what are some other interesting? It's really I wouldn't really call it a fashion trend, but a style trend or cultural trend. Yeah, some people are really into their beards, you know, like beards, you know, real men have beards. Where's your beard?
Yeah, having a native heritage and Latin American heritage, I can't grow a decent beard. So I feel left out. We'll be back with more cultural libertarianism after the break in the market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
Meow!
Oh yeah, we're back with the Freedom Fiends. We're wondering, is there such thing as cultural libertarianism? We've identified at least a few quirky traits that seem to at least resonate with like the Porkfest style libertarians. And, you know, but I think there's, I want to explore this a little bit with you, Hugo. I think there's a whole bunch of different little libertarian cultures. There's the bow tie culture, right? Like, you know,
that's
people
true,
that are,
yeah.
That, they're like, look, I'm Jeffrey Tucker, you know, or Murray Rothbard, or they just, I don't know, I guess they come out of Mises Academy with the, you know, with their like standard issue bow tie, so people know like I'm into economics. See, I got a bow tie to differentiate them from like the open carry libertarians, which are like, you know, I've got an assault rifle, or I've got or they're carrying battle rifles and stuff over their shoulder and big knives, and there's that subculture. And
I've seen the knife thing in Porkfest, and it was really really surprising the first time I went there and saw a girl with a knife in a sheath on their back. So it was, so right now we're all carrying swords now.
Yeah, it's like, you know, Xena Warrior Princess is their role model, I guess. I'm all for that. I got no problem with that at all. You know, it could come in handy. You never know. What are some other little subcultures we have? How about kilts? There's a whole like kilt club, you know, like kilts.
There is.
You know?
Yeah, I'd probably do it if they were more readily available here in Mexico. I'd probably just walk around in a kilt if I could do that. But right now,
they wear like these tactical kilts. I swear to God,
that's just silly.
A tactical kilt. Okay. Why not?
What's the difference between a regular kilt and a tactical kilt? Because you can make tactical everything.
Yeah,
I have
exactly.
A tactical pen, and you have a tactical flashlight. You know what would be funny to have a tactical bow tie.
Yeah, it has, you know, you can take it off and use it as a garrote. I don't know.
It'll be steel wire so you can strangle someone, you know?
I don't know. Who knows?
You know, always in self-defense.
But, you know, the way the media portrays libertarians, it's like we're all white, we're all men, we're all, you know, somewhat overweight. And that is me, basically. So it's hard for me to dispel that stereotype because I kind of fit that. But, you know, I don't know.
Well, I'm whitish for being in Mexico, so probably I try not to be overweight, but yeah, I do own a bow tie, so I think I feed one, at least one of the camps. I can grow a beard, but I do own a gun, even though you're not supposed to. But I can't carry around; that would be too dangerous.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. I can own it at home, but yeah, it will be too dangerous to just go ahead and carry it around. You get inspections in the subway here in Mexico. You have metal detectors and, you know, backpack inspections every once in a while. Yeah, that's kind of horrible. But yeah.
Well, they do that in New York City. They've been doing that for a while now.
You just stop and frisk, right? Anyone for any reason.
Mostly young black men, but anybody could be subjected to it. And in the transit system, I think there's more possibility of just, you know, getting your bag searched, you know, these suspicionless, warrantless searches they feel perfectly comfortable doing. And they just say, well, 9/11, you know.
They will say you fit the description, right?
Yeah.
Which is probably just, you know.
We got an anonymous tip.
Young and black. Yeah.
We're responding to an anonymous tip that there was a suspicious figure.
Yeah, it turns out he was black and young and male. Yeah, so are we guilty of those? Well, we kind of fit the description, and I don't own a kilt, but I do own a bow tie. I've gone to libertarian conferences, and I've taught a few of them. You know, I've given libertarian, conferences in libertarian topics, but I don't know. There's this, I would say some libertarians do eat with a fork and knife, and some of us are just foaming in the mouth in a very good way.
Just like shoving chunks of raw meat into a gaping maw.
Raw bacon. Yeah, raw bacon. And those are the ones moving, making the world go round, you know? Are we those?
Tactical bacon.
Come back. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
And we're back. The Freedom Fiends are back. And I'm pretty sure this is me, Hugo, from Mexico City. And with me is Jim Babb from, can you say it again? Because I said Transylvania last time.
I'm in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And I was wondering, we were talking about the many tribes that exist inside libertarianism. And if we put together all the fiends, we'd probably have a few members in each tribe, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. But then, you know, the fiends are also sort of a... It's kind of a tribe in themselves, that sort of that fiend mentality sort of, you know, it sort of transcends the other libertarian subcultures, I think.
Yeah, and our motto is laughing while Western civilization collapses. So you gotta laugh, man.
Yeah. You know, we make fun of these guys. And, you know, sure, there's going to be some bacon there. You know, some bacon worms or some worms. We are the worm in the bacon, so to speak, right?
We are. And the worm in the bacon. I'm not sure if that's even possible, but yeah, but we are those. And we still could talk about a couple more sub-libertarianisms.
Oh, there's tons of
tribes.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. You were telling us about the gun nuts, which
right?
many fiends are.
Right. Or enthusiasts. We don't have to call them. Nobody's a nut here. Well, there's a few nuts, but we'll just say enthusiasts, self-defense enthusiasts. Okay. We had the bow tie crew that, you know, that went to Mises Academy. What other groups did we have? The kilts, the bacon.
The beards.
There's that, but then there's the polyamorous crowd.
Yeah,
right.
The poly crowd and the stoners.
Stoners are huge, you know. And you can. I think they might be the least effective of all the libertarian groups out there because they're always stoned. But good people nonetheless, though. And
yeah, whenever they can, you know, I've seen some people who are very functional when they're stoned. So even though you're stoned out of your mind, you can work for liberty. And I've known a few of those. We have those in Mexico too, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, and there's also the beer crew, the craft beer. Okay, now that is probably my subculture right there.
I'm gonna just call it the artisans.
The artist. That's
right. So do you do that? Do you make beer?
I don't make beer, but I consume beer, and I love beer, and I love trying different beers, and I love finding excellent beer, and you know, I know libertarians that have told me the only reason they got involved in, you know, with the quote unquote movement is so they could drink beer with other libertarians, right? And that's enough right there. That's enough reason to get involved.
That's as good a reason as any, really. And, you know, now that you were talking about craft beers and, you know, enjoying different kinds of beers, do you remember in Breaking Bad in the series, pretty much everyone's seen it by now, the Hank, there was, I think it was it was on purpose that they would do this. Hank used to make craft beer, and he was a drug dealer in his own way. Do you remember this?
I don't remember. I don't remember him making beer, but that makes sense.
Okay. It was this one episode. That's why I think it was deliberate on their part. And he had this hobby where he was making beer, and some of them exploded because they were, I don't know, too fermented, whatever happens to beer when you don't make it right. And I think it was a wink, you know, for libertarians. There were a lot of libertarian themes in that show that, you know, that guy, he's a DEA agent and he's making drugs, even though he doesn't see it as that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So craft people, drug dealers, drug consumers.
And now, don't forget that now then there's all the silver people, the alternative currency, gold and silver people, the gold bugs. That's a whole nother subculture. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Some of them, they've been overshadowed a bit by the Bitcoin people recently. But they used to be big. Remember the Liberty Dollar?
Yeah. No. I think they're still big. They're still big. Liberty Dollar people but the Bitcoin group is different than that. That's like an up and coming younger crowd. Like a lot of the old silver people, they're like, yeah, kind of interested in Bitcoin, but they've been reluctant to get on board, and some of them absolutely not. The Bitcoin
is pretty wise on their part, you know. Precious metals will, I don't think it will, their value will go to zero or something like that. I don't think there will be a precious metal crash. That's pretty much a sure investment.
Right, but yeah, I guess this newer subculture of crypto libertarians, you know, the Bitcoin people that are into cryptography and security and computers. Now, this is a really interesting group of libertarians that I find, because they're extremely intelligent and they've got really useful skills. And I think that's a really neat subculture in the libertarian movement.
I don't know if, for example, with the Stoner crew, I don't know if they're coming into libertarianism because of the very real drug problem. But what happens when weed is legalized, like in Colorado or Washington, somewhat Alaska, Hawaii, many other places? Do they stop being libertarians? They follow through. What's your experience with that? Have you seen those people?
Well, you know, the weed legalization movement is so much bigger than libertarians, right? Like, libertarians have always been against the drug war, and we've always been against the police state. But this newer rise of the, I guess, more liberal stoner, you know, these guys, they're not libertarian, but they just want to be able to smoke weed and get away with it. And they'll just as soon put every coke user in jail if it means they can get away with paying weed tax and you know, as long as they're not getting arrested, they're cool with it. I sense a lot of that in the drug legalization movement. Mm-hmm. But the libertarians on that, you know, there's always going to be a demand for the libertarian who's against all prohibition, you know. So I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, the liberty ideas will catch on those who want to explore them further, even though they came in through the drug issue, right?
Hopefully.
There's a few of those.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And they, you know, in New Hampshire, they've been having a hard time because, you know, they're more free than some other states in America in several different things. But when it comes to drugs, they're not that free. So, well, I don't know if it's really that bad that the stoner crowd, that the ones that are in it for the weed and nothing else, are just not going to New Hampshire, for example. I would say that's, you know, that's not a big deal.
And, right, they're going to go to Seattle or Colorado right now.
Yeah, that's true. And I don't know. We talked about the poly crew too, and that's also relatively new, right? That's why Ayn Rand called libertarians hippies of the right.
Why not? You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
who knows?
Many of us are the hippies of the right in a way. But yeah, you know, poly people, it's been new, and there's many. For a long time, I used to listen to, for example, European dance songs or techno songs, and they always talked about being free to love. And I, as a libertarian, I didn't understand that. But many people don't feel free to love, or don't feel free to love whoever they want. And that's, conservatives sometimes say, okay, now we have gay marriage. What's the next step? Three people. And many of us say, sure, three people, why not?
Hey, you know, any voluntary association is fine with me. You know, with the libertarians, it's hard enough for most libertarian, you know, straight dudes to get one girlfriend. Okay, so God bless them if you can get more than one. Knock yourself out, guys. You know, and you know, that brings up yet another subculture is the gay libertarian crew. You know, which are super fun. Like that's a big component of at Pork Fest. You know, and it's just so you know, it's you know, libertarians have embraced equality long ago. So it's a very mature, you know, acceptance. It's not like, oh, we're just now started accepting, oh, now it's legal, we're going to start accepting it. No, you know, it's always been very comfortable as far as I know. So. You know, that's a very healthy segment.
Yeah, and I think it's very good for all these crowds, for all these tribes, as I just called them, that they exist, because sometimes you know, government loving people have their own tribes, and they will try to push forward their ideas to those crowds. So one example that I see is for the LGBT crowd, for the gay libertarians, or the trans, whatever is in that group. Here in Mexico, leftist political parties have huge segments of that demographic. So, yeah, it's good that the ideas of liberty are being pushed forward in any group, particularly the LGBT crowd.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe what we really have figured out is that there isn't a cultural libertarianism. There's no one cultural libertarianism. I mean, because there's so many different styles of libertarians, different backgrounds, different interests, different ethnicities, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different countries of origin, language, religion, diet. I mean, we don't allow
choice of caliber. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We don't allow these kind of superficial things to separate us, you know, and I think maybe that's something that maybe differentiates libertarians a little bit. You know, at Pork Fest, you know, it's perfectly normal for all of these camps to freely socialize. You can be at one campsite and there's the bow tie people, the stoners, the gun people, the gold people, the gay people. It's all, you know, like, and it does, no, it does, it's not even apparent, like, oh, you're from that group or you're from that group. It's just we're all libertarians. We all believe in the non-aggression principle. We're all having fun together. You know, it's so easy.
It is easy because we have the NAP, and probably we should talk just a little bit about the NAP when we come back. We vowed to explain it.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
2 designs for Guns N' Reed, The Road to Freedom.
3 designs for Fiend Phone.
Pipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
With Jim Bav and Hugo, with me from Mexico.
So, Jim, we were talking before about the libertarian tribes and whatever different groups we can identify. And I'm pretty sure we missed a lot of those.
Probably half of them we've missed, right?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we missed.
I don't know them all, right?
Yeah. Up on the top of my mind, probably the feminists and the political activism ones, and
right.
There's the homeschoolers.
Oh yeah, how did
and
we miss that one?
And the survivalists.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Like I knew there would be huge segments that we're just overlooked. Those are you just nailed a couple huge ones right there. Yeah, and food freedom, the food freedom folks, the farming. You know, people with chickens and goats and, you know, what do you mean you're buying your eggs at the store? What are you, crazy? And then there's all the conspiracy people, right? That's a whole nother one. Like,
that's true. The chemtrail people and the reptilian, the people who believe in reptile people. Reptilians and
it's the Illuminati or the Freemasons or the I don't know whatever none of these are really discrete groups. They all like mingle and mix, and you know, as we alluded to before the break, it you know, if folks accept the non-aggression principle, it just means, hey, you don't initiate any kind of violence against another person, right? It's kind of the golden rule, only a little bit better. Just don't hurt people. Don't take their stuff. Something any kindergartner knows.
Exactly,
you know, we all get along. You know, at least when we have that basis, it's just I just find it very comfortable to be around other people that share that value. You know, because inevitably, you know, I can have a good time at a party with you know, regular people. Right,
you know? Yeah,
but eventually,
right.
Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time before you find out, you know, their views on, you know, government schooling and how they love it, you know, and it's like,
if only we could agree on the NAP, on the non-aggression principle, it would be okay, but not even that. And yeah, that's just this one thing, and I think after giving up the possibility of initiating violence or, you know, promoting or voting for oppressing other people, it becomes a little bit easier to, you know, just don't care, to just tolerate whatever, even if you like or don't like that word. The whole thing is, it becomes easier if you don't allow yourself to initiate or promote violence. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if this happened to you, but it did happen to me. I just stopped caring about so many what other people were doing when it wasn't violent against me. I just compared it to violence, and it looked so irrelevant.
Right, but it, you know, do you find these like awkward situations where, you know, like for instance, maybe I'll be, you know, at a social engagement with, say, like, you know, parents of my daughter's friend, You know, like, so we have these mutual interests and everybody's friendly and everything's great. But I can't maintain this sort of superficial friendship level for very long before eventually it turns out that they think that I should probably be in jail. Right? Like, if it really push comes to shove, they think that, oh, you know, well, gee, you're not, if you don't want to pay taxes, of course you should go to jail.
You should be shot. Of
course. Yeah. You know, and I'm like, how do you maintain this, like, politeness? I just find that uncomfortable to have to maintain this, like, a level of politeness with people that ultimately, yeah, think the state should kill me for resisting their mandates. So that's why I'm glad we have
pyramid scheme.
Yeah, I'm glad we have so many different flavors of libertarians or anarchists, whatever you want to call us, voluntarists, abolitionists, just people that believe in the non-aggression principle. It's just so much more comfortable for me.
Yeah, and you can come here, and there is room for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, there's a tribe for everybody, or probably several tribes for everybody.
Yeah, make your own tribe, you know, or you don't have to pick one.
Inflatable animal tribe, or whatever tickles your fancy.
The worm tribe. The Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, the Freedom Fiends. Michael would say it's not open for... It's invitation only, he'd say.
Well, you know, the Freedom Fiends is in the mind as well. So anybody can adapt that perspective.
Fiends of the mind.
Yeah.
Worms.